Come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills. Almighty God has made each mountain shouts, each valley thrills to sing the Savior's praise. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Lord, I put my trust in you. Never be ashamed. Mighty God has rescued me. I will praise your name. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Please remain standing for prayer. And this morning we welcome some of the new people who are listening over the internet in Hacienda Pinilla in Costa Rica, and New York, and Thornton, New Jersey, and in South New Jersey, my good friend Maldonado, who now joined in the service by listening in their location. We thank God for those who send us email and let us know that they are hooked to the internet for the preaching and worshiping of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you brought us together this morning to worship the Lord and the Lord alone. And we are thankful that we have the Church of the Living God where we can gather together as a body of believers to praise your name because it's worthy of praise, and then to listen to thy word being read, and then to listen to the interpretation of thy word and the counsel of thy word to our life. We pray, Father, that each one of us will treasure that word into our heart according to our need. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, the divine element that tell us where we are and what we should do, will bring many to the feet of Jesus, our Lord, who does forgive. We thank you, Lord, that we open the doors of this church to give hope for the future and forgiveness for the past. And we pray that as we go through the service, many, many people will be blessed. We have no idea, those who are in radio, in the internet, and the tape ministry, and the CD ministry, we have no idea who they are, and neither we intend to know. From time to time, some people write to us and tell us how wonderful it is to hear Bethel Baptist. And Father, we want people to know Jesus, and Jesus alone. And in order to do so, we explain the Word of God, who are the words of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, we do have missionaries across the world. We have Fred and Carol Lewis and the recovery in Oregon. And, Father, how wonderful it is to know that Fred is feeling much better. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Roth in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, in Central America. Marta Peretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and the Rehabilitation Center. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, California. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. And Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry as Daniel travel across the country to visit those races and to offer the comfort and the presence of Christ in their chapels. Thank you, Father, that you brought us together this morning. And we pray, O Father, the important factor that without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your voice today and let the spirit show us your way. Lord, the ministry have expenses and you meet those expenses every Sunday. So, Father, we pray with thanksgiving, bless the offering, and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Job. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 328. We will be reading Job chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Job chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver, or as a hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in the written word in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of faith, that we might believe all that has been written. We are comforted every day, and especially when trials come, knowing that our times are in your hand, and you have even marked out the boundaries of our dwellings. We look beyond this present hour with the knowledge that you are our sovereign Lord and that your great promises cannot fail. Grant that we may always live before you with that hope. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you that he and Mrs. Otero have returned safely from Central America. We ask that you bless his teaching from the scriptures to our ears and here and over the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may understand and demonstrate your wisdom in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And I'm just going to say that it was good to hear our church from 3,000 400 miles away in the Nice Valley there in Pinilla in Costa Rica. And it was good to see our congregation moving on, even though the pastor was not here. We go back to the book of Job in the Bible, and our series of studies that will be for a good season are centered on the word endurance. Endurance. Now, the book of Job, in our chapter 3, is in page 327 in the Bible that is in the pew, and is the book before the book of Psalms, so it's easy to find. Endurance. And endurance is the ability to bear prolonged hardship. And the book of Job teaches these by example. The example of a man who did exhibit the quality of endurance. I told you that the book of Job is in every paragraph and is an example of that kind of endurance. There are scenarios, pictures presented to us so that we can learn from it and be encouraged. Scenario number one was, are you prepared for disaster? That's in chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Are you prepared for a disaster when everything goes wrong in your life? Scenario number 2 was recovering from devastating news. Your family is gone, everybody died, your business is gone, you have nothing left. Scenario number 3 was when bad things happen to the wrong people. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Scenario number 4, I preached before vacation, was advice for husbands and friends. I took the life of Job in answering his wife, and I presented to you as an example of the advice from God. Now today we are in scenario number 5, the 3 levels of a depressed man. I read the Bible many times myself, the entire Bible. And I want to tell you from my point of view that I never found other chapter more depressed than this chapter. I read the stories of Moses and the Pentateuch and the stress that he was put on. But nothing compare to chapter 3 and the book of Job. There is no other chapter of the Bible worse in the life of a man as he expresses himself. But you know something? I'm so glad he did express himself in sorrow, because at the end of the book he overcome that. And so that you and I who experience sorrow know where to go from hell. So I'm going to present those 3 levels of depression. So those who are familiar with psychology will be associated with. And the Bible is a psychology book. It's a good psychology book because it's made by the author of mankind, by the one who framed you and made you. First, we're going to see that Job was a disquieted man. V as David, I-S-Q-U-I-E-T as Tom, E-D. Disquieted man means a man who have no peace. Disquieted means the lack of peace, verses 1 to 10. The next paragraph, in verses 11 to 19, we're going to see that he was a disappointed man. Disappointment comes when you become unhappy because something was not as you expected. Some people get disappointed after marriage, and that's really trouble. You're disappointed after marriage because your husband or your wife is not as you expected. Then verses 20 to 26, he's a depressed man. And depression is the lack of power to change his or her circumstances. A person is depressed because he or she cannot change the circumstances in which is involved. So we're going to see all of this, but we're going to see the answer to all of this according to the scripture. Number 1, verses 1 to 10, disquieted. The first level of a real depressed man is that he is disquieted, lack of peace. Verse 1, he wishes never was born. Excuse me, verse 3. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Now we in science says, we have developed science so highly that now we know if a woman have a baby, and women will have a baby, but will be a man or will be a woman. They knew it at that time. Before Abraham. Amazing. So he wishes he never was born. Verse 3 again. He wishes never was conceived. He said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a boy. I'm glad the Bible doesn't say there is a fetus. The Bible said there is a boy. He wishes his mother was sterile. Look at verse 10. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid the sorrow from my eyes. So here is a man who is disquieted. He has a lack of peace. And there are 3 elements that he brings to the attention of a very terrible situation in his personal life. He wishes he never was born, verse 3. He wishes he never was conceived. And then he goes farther than that, and he wishes his mother was a sterile, that she cannot conceive a baby like Hannah was in the scripture, and she cried for. Amazing. what a state of the lack of peace whatsoever. He went right back to the root where everything began. Where life began. See, life doesn't come from a monkey. Life for a baby comes from a woman. That is scientifically proof in America. I hope so. I never saw a man or a woman coming from a monkey. And the Bible is overwhelming in this. Overwhelming. And the man is so totally taken by the situation of his life that he said, oh, I wish every step of the way where I came into the world was shut off. God, why I was born? Well, now, let's go to the disappointment. Verses 11 to 19. Unhappy because something was not as expected. He was unhappy because he was a healthy baby. Look in verse 11. Why die I not from the womb? You see what, this is disappointment. He sees himself today, and he says, why die I not from the womb? Why I was born a healthy baby? Now every mother and every father, they look for something at birth, a healthy baby. But when the mind is lost, the man come out, a man of God, by the way, come out with a statement, why I was born a healthy baby. And then in verse 12, he was unhappy because he had a healthy delivery. Look at verse 12. Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? In other words, when they were born, the women were placed in a stool and the baby will come born into her knees. And he said, well, why I was not between that moment of birth and the knees of my mother, why I was not gone? And happy. What, why I have a healthy delivery? I could die in the delivery. Then unhappy because he could be born dead. Look at verse 13, what verse 13 says in the Bible. For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept. Slept, sleep in the Bible is a word used. You can go to 1 Thessalonians in your home and in chapter 4, verse 13 and on. The word sleep means you are dead. And the Bible says, I should have slept, then had I been at rest. So here is an unhappy man, because he could be born dead, and then that's it. He will be in the hands of God. So he's disappointed. Disappointed about anything, you will not be disappointed. A healthy baby, a healthy delivery, and born alive. Everything you like it and expect it from a baby, here is on the reverse. From a believer's lips and mine. A disappointed man. Now I told you, it's a tough chapter. Wait until I get to depression. Here's depression. Depressed. Lacking power to change his or her circumstances. Look at verse 20. He's lacking power to live. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in the soul. I want you to compare that statement with chapter 6. Move just one page in your Bible to chapter 6 and verse 11 in your Bible. Look at what he says here, that really explain that verse 20. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is my end that I should prolong my life? So he has lack of power to live. Going back to Job chapter 3 and verse 20, we see that he said, why I should have light, I should have life if I live in misery. I don't have power to change the circumstances. I don't have power to change the sickness of mine into a healthy body. I don't have power to go back into my life in the stage that I was before. Oh God, why this? And so the man of God became depressed. And then if you go to almost the end of the chapter, verse 25 and verse 26 in chapter 3, is the lacking power to control his life. Look at verse 25. For the things which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Look at verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. I tell you, here is a man that you will call a psychiatrist and dope him with drugs. You will say, oh, this man needs help. Let me give you this drug in the morning, this in the afternoon, and this in the evening, and some pills for sleep in the night. And I charge you $250 today and go home and we'll be okay. Did ever Job get well? And if he did, why? What Job did that get him out of being a man of lack of peace, out of being a man unhappy because he was a man disappointed? And above all, what changed the character of this man from being a depressed man to a successful man again? So you have this story of chapter 3 and a briefing. I don't went into all the details because it's depressing. So it made me sick when I read it. That a believer will go into that stage of mind. But make me, as a pastor, more tender and more sweet and more understandable and no judgmental. When a believer comes to talk to me in that particular stage, was a great lesson for me. I had to read it 82 times. I read the chapter to see that that will be embedded in me. Like our brother Gregory was talking, Pastor Thomas was talking, embedding the word of God. I want to get this into my mind and heart that when a believer comes to counsel with me and is in that particular stage, I will not judge the individual. But I will find a way to show in the scripture how to overcome. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are ahead of everybody because we have the holy story of the book of Job. So now, did Job ever come out? We're going to see it. But the question is, the real $4 million question is this. What causes such a state of mind? Some people said, well, you have a chemical imbalance. Some other people said, you have a thyroid problems, and so on. I want you to read with me Job chapter 3, verse 1, two words that reveal what causes this kind of problem. Chapter 3 in the book of Job, verse 1, after these. These are the words. After these, one word in Hebrew. After these refers to the life of Job. If you go to chapter 1, In verse 3, the Bible says, in Job chapter 1, verse 3, after this, let's look for a moment the life of Job. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels. That was his truck company. 500 yoke oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all men on the east. He was the guy of the computer. What's the name of the guy? Bill, what is it? Say it again. Thank you. Behind my ears. All right. Bill Gates of his generation. You understand now? He was the Bill Gates of his generation. He really enjoyed himself life. He lost his business. He lost his business. All of them. Not only one. No, he went down in the market and then he has some left over to make it up. He lost all of them. Now he has a great family. And he prayed for his family. And you remember in Job chapter 1 and 2, he lost his family. All of them. The messenger came and said, all your children were there praying, eating, and gone. You had no more family. So all after this means after he lost his business, after he lost his family, and then after he overcame temptation, his beloved wife, his darling, came to him and said, darling, why don't you curse God and die? Do you saw it in chapter 2, verse 9? Remember what she said? The Bible said, then said his wife unto him, does thou still retain thy integrity? You're still believing in God? Curse God and die. That's what Satan told God in chapter 1. If I take everything from Job, if I put the hands on Job, he will curse you. And God said, no, he's a child of God. A child of God never curse God. He can get depressed but never curse God. Go ahead. And he, remember, passed the first test. Came the second test. Now his wife said to him, curse God. And she doesn't know. She says, speaking for Satan. I like the answer in verse 10 because it's for all of us husbands. Imagine yourself, your wife said, get out of here and curse God. What do you say to your wife? Look at what Job did. Verse 10, chapter 2. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Darling, you speak as one, as an unbeliever. Oh, what a tender man. What a tender man. After he overcame temptation, and then Satan said, well, God, you take his health away, and surely he will curse you. And the Bible said, remember, I give you all the medical terms of what happened to him and his body, never seen in any other man before. We can say, after this means after he lost his healthiness. So first he lost his business, then he lost his family, then he was tempted and overcame, and then he lost his health. And so the Bible says after this, sure come this terrible chapter in which he's disquieted, he's disappointed, and he's depressed. I wonder what kind of medicine the Job took to overcome his depression. Well, the Bible tells us, go almost to the end of the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 5. Chapter 42 is at the end of the book of Job. You know I'm translating the Bible, so I have my translation in this, but I want to be sure how far it's from your English. All right. Job chapter 42 verse 5. Look at what the Bible says in the King James. I have heard of thee. This is Job and God now. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I know about you. I learned Sunday school. I know about you, God. Some preacher told me about it. Oh, I read some manuscript that I found from time to time. But look at what he said. But now, my eye see thee. And look at verse 6. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent and dust in ashes. Let me retranslate that, how the Hebrew brings this so vividly. Verse 5 translated in this way. Before I knew you only by hearsay. Before I knew you only by hearsay. That's the way we start knowing God. I remember my mother taking me to Sunday school. At that time I had hair. So my mother will take me from the hair and drop me in Sunday school because I don't want to go. And my father, who was an unbeliever, said, oh, let the child think by himself. When he get older, when I get older, get married, I cannot think by myself. But I tell you, happened to you too. All right. You see what I mean? You hear it about God. You come to Sunday school in this church. We're in today in Acts chapter 8. You hear God. But you hear it only. You hear it. You read your Bible, you hear it. So the Bible says, before I knew you only by hearsay, but now, having seen you in my own eyes, verse 6, I retract what I have said and repent in dust and ashes. Now I see who God is and I'm okay. Now, don't tell this to a psychologist or to a psychiatrist because will not believe it. Because he only hear about God. Now, I see it. So, what was his remedy? He really, really understood God. He really understood what God can do. He really understood the work of God. And he understood that God never left him, but rather was working through him to give us a great picture today, 6,000 years later. Now, you as a pastor, we are in the 21st century. What we should do? All right? Let me tell you what a man did on the first century. Turn your Bible to the Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 28, page 638, if you're using the Bible here on the pew. The Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 28. In the meantime, you look for the scripture, let me tell you the background of the passage. Jesus had resurrected and appeared to the disciples, and Thomas was not there. Thomas was a very intelligent and a wonderful man, a very scientific man. And the disciples told Thomas, we saw Jesus. He said, you must be dreaming. Unless I see him, he said, I will not see. And I'm impressed by the mercy of God that Jesus comes and appeared to Thomas, a picture that he could come and appear to you. Look at chapter 20, verse 28. When Jesus appeared to him and said, Thomas, look at my side and look at my arms and the nails. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He did not say, oh, you are Christ and you are God. No, no, no. Do you saw the personal pronoun? My God. My God. It's just clear. My Lord and my God. Mark this Bible, and when some of these people knock your door trying to tell you that Jesus is no God, just share this. Thomas said, my God. Some people said the Bible never said that Jesus is God. There's more than 7 verses that said the people testify, Hebrews 1:8 and others, the Bible declared Jesus God. But it's not just God. It's my God. My God. You see, that is the moment that you maybe grow all your life to say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. But when are you going to say Jesus is my God? You need to appropriate Jesus. You need to make it yours. You need to really, really take Jesus into your life by believing His word in you. So what is the counsel, Pastor, for anybody who is just like Job? Because I have met a lot of people in situations like this. Imagine the people there in the south of the United States who lost their homes and lost these. I was listening. There are more than 5,000 trailers that cannot be placed in the area, and they think the problem is the government. Ultimately, the problem is our president. The problem is us. What do you do? How did you solve your problem if you are in Job chapter 3? Well, turn your Bible now, according to the counsel of Job. Turn your Bible to the Hebrew, the book of Hebrews. It's almost at the end of your Bible, chapter 12, verse 2. Sorry, I don't remember the page number. But turn your Bible to chapter 12 and verse 2. It's almost at the end. And after Paul deals in the book of Hebrews, who is Jesus? Is Jesus a high priest? He is. Is Jesus higher than the angels? Here he is. Is Jesus the presence? Is Jesus sitting at God's side? Yes, he is. And he explained you everything about Jesus from a Hebrew standpoint of view. When you read the book of Hebrews, before reading the book of Hebrews, you read the book of Leviticus. And then after you read Leviticus, then you read the book of Hebrews and you understand who is Jesus in the light of God. Now in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, and in verse 2, Paul gave the solution to any Hebrew person or any individual. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author, the King James used the word finisher, which at that time means to be perfect. So the translation should be looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, you are in the situation, you are on the shoes of Job. You are disquieted, disappointed, and depressed. It's not the medicine your problem. Your problem is what you're looking for. Turn your eyes from the sickness. Turn your eyes from the stress of your life. Turn your eyes from your family disappointments. Turn your eyes from your friends. And look into Christ. And look into Christ. And you may say, Pastor, where do I find Christ? Will you turn your Bible again? You are in Hebrews 10. Just go a little bit down to Hebrews 10 and verse 7. And the Bible will tell you where you find Christ. Hopefully in this church and hopefully in every church of America when it's preached. But I'll tell you where you find Christ. In Hebrews 10:7, the Bible said this word. Then said I, talking about Jesus, lo, I come. And how well written. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will of God. So how the fathers of the church in the year 454 settled that the Bible have 66 books and no more. They checked that every book that was incorporated into the scripture has to say something about Jesus. And how that was the sealing and how they authorized the Bibles. You know, in the Old Testament, the book that was very complicated for them, the book of Esther, because the book of Esther doesn't mention God. But the book of Esther mentioned the salvation of Israel, His people. And another book that was questioned was the book of James. because it was a political book, they said. It talks about salaries and talk about this and the other, and talk and question the faith and so on. And later on, they found that, there is a spot there that pointed entirely to Jesus. That's how the fathers of our faith, they settled down to 66 books. And you read Hebrews 10 and verse 7, it says, in the volume on the book, in the 66 books of this Bible, you find the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word God is Elohim. God's created the heavens and the earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit moved. So verse 2, and the waters were around. Verse 3, and the Spirit said, be light! And there was light. Who's light? John 8:12. I am the light of the world. See, you see Jesus everywhere in the Bible. My friend. The three stages of a depressed person. Disquieted, disappointed, depressed. Unless you are proved physically that you have a physical sickness, don't go to any psychiatrist or psychologist. Just go to Jesus. And he will heal you as you read the word and correct your life. You find him. And when you find him, remember what Job did. It's not the heard say about Jesus, it's the belief. You need to believe. You need to say, I believe that he did the work at Calvary Cross that I cannot do. After all, I'm a sinner. I'm short of the glory of God. And therefore, Christ had died on my behalf to give me his holiness. His holiness. Somebody in the restaurant, when they knew I was a pastor, they called a minister, these Costa Rican people said, your holiness. And I said, oh, thank you very much. I accept it. You know, and my wife said, I don't worry about it. I'm going to use it in a few minutes. You know, in a few minutes, that give me a chew material to talk to this fellow. See, I'm holy because he is holy. And not because I have a seal of a church or a seal of people. You are holy because Christ is holy and he lives in you. But if you hear only, you are short. You need to believe. It is my hope, that you have come to believe. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of the gospel. Thank you for the life of Job, who experienced what we experienced, the hell of life. But then he came to you and saw you and believed in you. Father, I pray that each one of us may come to you and believe that you have done what we cannot do to be justified before the God of heaven. Thank you, Father, for the lesson. Thank you, God, for the encouragement. Cause us not to judge people, but to offer people the medicine that will heal them. Jesus, our Lord, in his name we pray.
Amen. just thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bore it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my
stand, please. Thank you, Lenita. Thank you. I think this is one of the best that I ever heard. So beautiful from the heart. Let's pray together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.